For instance, a 49-year-old doctor, Fuad Haleem, who has a clinic in Park Street, Calcutta, runs a small standalone dialysis unit under Kolkata Swasthya Sankalpa, an NGO that he runs along with his family and friends. According to the print.in, he's providing dialysis for a mere 50 rupees, less than $1 per procedure, and he has no terms and conditions. This is humanity at its best. Hey there, how are you? Welcome back to the show, It's Your Postman, where the efforts are to create an ecosystem for everyone to feel safe and welcomed in an otherwise biased and divided society. The three main pillars of the podcast are love, empathy, and gratitude. It's not all that grim now, is it? A lot of things have happened since we last spoke, right? And a lot of it is sadly horrifying. We all have seen police brutality in our lives. I doubt anyone of us living hasn't heard of it yet. And it is not country specific. Repeated killings of black people and minority in America and other countries, to innocent people's death in police custody in India, are a few but excruciatingly painful incidents that are making rounds right now on social media. And on the other hand, a kind-hearted 49-year-old doctor from Calcutta, India, conducts dialysis at rupees 50, that is less than an American dollar, even for COVID-19 patients. In this episode, let's see some good things that are happening around, and also some not so good things. Jayaraj and Benix, father and son duo from Thoothukudi, were brutally beaten to death on June 19, 2020. The father-son had their shop and apparently it was open for 2 minutes beyond curfew. They were taken to police station, were stripped naked, shoved ironclad batons, lathis, into their buttholes. Their knees were smashed and mangled, meaning torn apart. Their blood-soaked clothes were sent to their homes in exchange for fresh clothes, not once, not twice, but 3 times. It's been 12 days since the incident occurred, and we got to hear multiple stories and outcomes. Firstly, the police wrote a wrong and a dishonest FIR, accusing the father and son duo of arguing and disobeying the police. This FIR was found to be false. According to the news minute, the duo did not protest. Neither was there any crowd outside the shop, which the FIR mentioned, and took the father first, and the son went on a friend's bike to the station, as opposed to FIR statement that said that the police took both father and son together, as it is clearly seen on CCTV footage next to Jayaraj Benix's shop. The News Minute article on 30th June reads that Sathankulam, the police station where the father and son were murdered, woman cop reveals that Jayaraj Benix were tortured and the police lathis were stained with blood. The article says that Kovilpatti magistrate MS Bharathidasan, when he went for recording statements, was met with hostility from cops in the station and were very uncooperative throughout. Woman cop who spoke up was being threatened by the male cops in the station. It took the magistrate 15 hours to do the questioning, and he left the town to stay at a neighboring village for the night, fearing cops. This incident led to a few police officers who were involved in misbehaving being suspended. It is a move in the right direction, but why do these things happen? There can be more than a dozen reasons for this police brutality, and I have a podcast coming up on how we can bridge the gap between the police and the civilians. There have been multiple awareness campaigns to show that the police is actually there to help us and not harm us. But these incidents push back the awareness back into a dungeon. In my opinion, a good place to start reform would be by not having any political interference in the matters of police. Supreme Court judgment in Prakash Singh versus Union of India case, based on principle of separation of powers, states clearly that all decisions on transfer of offices and personnel should be devoid of political interference, suggesting that the state government should set up police establishment boards that would collectively take decisions on transfers. According to an article in The Hindu, dated 4th June 2016, a senior IPS officer's comments were as follows. Though the board has been established, it is not independent. It functions on the recommendations of local MLAs and other powerful politicians. This needs to stop. The politicians misuse their power and do not empower the police. Not enough funds for the department to carry out their duties. You may be wondering what's the connection, but there is. How do you expect the police to work when they don't have enough funds, resources, electricity, infrastructure, chairs, etc.? There are so many junior level police officers who are stationed in powerful politicians' houses as butlers, dog walkers, domestic help, in the name of duty. According to 1997 census, 5,500 police officers' whereabouts were missing. According to Jharkhand DGP, Mr. Shivaji Mahan Kaire, on Satyamev Vijayate, a TV show, the missing officers might be at some politician's agricultural land taking care of their farms, or worse, at their homes taking care of their houses. And the senior officers can't do anything about it. Where will the frustration go? Now please understand, this is not validating police brutality. There are wonderful officers who are trying to do with available resources. But this chain has to stop somewhere. Arresting those officers, transferring them to cool off the situation, these are all temporary measures. The problem is deep-rooted. I cannot give you a foolproof plan for a complete transformation of any particular issue. But honestly, we need to listen to the ones who do their duties and free them from the shackles of fear and control. Let them be independent, enough funds to do their duties. Respect them. That probably is a good start. Now, why don't we take a short break? It was an intense conversation. Be right back, this time with some good news. Welcome back. Now, there are some amazing souls doing amazing work as a service to the society. For instance, a 49-year-old doctor, Fuad Halim, who has a clinic in Park Street, Calcutta, runs a small standalone dialysis unit under Kolkata Swasthya Sankalpa, an NGO that he runs along with his family and friends. According to the print.in, he's providing dialysis for a mere 50 rupees, less than $1 per procedure, and he has no terms and conditions. This is humanity at its best. Now, apparently they have performed 2,190 procedures during this lockdown. Thank you, Fuad Halim. Another instance, in 2019, there was an outbreak of acute encephalitis syndrome, commonly known in India as chamki fever, in Bihar, India. 162 children died due to this outbreak in 2019. Some families have lost all their children in a matter of couple of days. The hospital corridors were echoing with wailing mothers and fathers. According to an article in Gaon Connection, in Sri Krishna Medical College in Muzaffarpur in Bihar, doctors were perplexed. The AES, or acute encephalitis syndrome, is defined as acute onset of fever with the change in mental status, including symptoms of confusion, disorientation, coma or inability to talk, and often with new onset of seizures. The article says the reported cases spike in June through August, but is present throughout the year. Fatality rate in India is about 6%, and in children, it's about 25%. That is about 1 out of 4 kids die. But this year, the reported cases have been very low. Reason? Our amazing frontline healthcare workers, ASHA workers. These beautiful souls have been going to villages since last year, spreading awareness, giving advice on do's and don'ts to their parents, resulting in a drastic reduction in fatality cases. Only 11 children have died this year. On this note, let's take a short break. There's an interesting announcement on the other side. Welcome back. We saw how kind-heartedness goes a long way. Another such group is RHA, Robin Hood Army. A volunteer-based Zero Fund Organization is a group of enthusiastic people who collect food from restaurants, hotels, and corporates and give the food to the less fortunate. They have already served 30 plus million people in 182 cities. And as a drive, last year they fed 5 million people in 5 days during Independence Day. So here's my request on behalf of Robinhood Army. If you're someone who wants to serve or volunteer, spread joy and feed the less fortunate, please visit robinhoodarmy.com. That is robinhoodarmy.com. Go to this website, register, and you will have plenty of information and contact numbers and contact details available on that particular website. They accept books, clothes, and food. They do not accept money. They have a drive starting 1st July till 15th August 2020 to serve 30 million people. So do not miss this opportunity. And if you have some clothes, if you have some food, if you have any books that you would want to give away, call these people, help them out. Thank you for listening through. Have a great day. Take care.